the emotional maturity piece, which I loved in your new book, I didn't know that that had a word or words when I was going through it, where I felt so misunderstood.
Yeah.
But I was also kind of most certainly misunderstanding other people.
Yes, yes.
And not taking responsibility for mm-hmm. that, and really taking responsibility for how I felt. Can we talk about emotional maturity and immaturity and kind of how that presents itself? Because if I were to say to someone, you know, it seems like you're emotionally immature, I don't know if anyone would really want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
I feel like we all have a little bit of it kind of creeping around.
Totally. Totally. And I think there's a lot of different lenses that you could look at it through. The one that I like to see emotional maturity through is essentially understanding that it's your relationship with your emotions, right? It's how you deal when tough things come up inside of you and how you either run away from that or you stay with it and you face it and you feel it. But you also feel it in a way where you're not just throwing more fire onto the tension that's already there and making it bigger and letting it control your actions. And then you are saying things that you later regret. It's more so feeling yourself when you're moving through the turbulence without throwing it on to other people. That's what I think of as emotional maturity.
The projection piece is a little sneaky where, you know, you're feeling these big feelings.
Yeah.
I'll speak for myself. When I feel big feelings and for so long, I didn't know how to hold them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like they would just kind of bleed out and really blend with other people's emotions, say with a partner or family or friends. And it was hard for me to distinguish like what was mine and what wasn't.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. How do you, within your relationship, speak to these emotions? Because I feel like for me, the communication piece has been such a huge practice where I need to almost like pace myself so that my words can catch up to my emotions.
I think that probably the biggest thing that's helped us, especially recently over the past, I would say like 3 or 4 years, is almost preventative communication, if that's even like a term. It just popped into my head now, but it's trying to be really consistent with letting each other know where we are in our own personal emotional barometer. So like when we wake up, we let each other know, like, you know, I feel like I'm going through a storm today. Mm. Like I do not feel good, or I feel fantastic. Let's like, you know, do all the things that we were planning on doing, but we will just let each other know, you know, how we feel so that we both know. Because oftentimes we won't even check in with ourselves and we won't really know how we feel. And then next thing we find that sort of, you know, that difficult emotional tumultuousness that's happening, it'll just start steamrolling into some narrative, trying to make it your partner's fault when actually they had nothing to do with it. Yeah. You just woke up that way. You know, you don't even need to necessarily always know the cause, because sometimes the cause can be very murky. Like sometimes it may be related to something from a long time ago when you were a child. Other times you may have just woken up and not felt great, but how you respond to it is like critical.
Yes.
But part of that response is really highly dependent on just letting your partner know. So you both set the stage where it's like, okay, if I know that my wife is not feeling that well, then that gives me an opportunity to show her love by stepping up.
Mm-hmm. And not take it personally.
No.
Yeah, that's been a very important practice that I didn't realize we were doing as preventative measures, but something our therapist said to us was if it hasn't been said, then it's not true yet. Like if you haven't expressed it to your partner,
that's
you
so
can't
smart.
Assume that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he was in a mood, which he can be, my sweet Pisces, but I'm also a Gemini moon, so we're two people. If he was in a mood, I would just go through, I'm like, did I do something? Did I say something? What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
But I have really stuck to what she said. And I'm like, if he doesn't say anything, then not that I'm not going to communicate with him or kind of ask him how he's doing, but more so just take it on as something that I feel responsible for.
I love that too, because it feels like that era of like the 1990s and early 2000s where we would like expect our partners to read our minds, it's over.
Yo,
I can't read
your
mind.
He says to me, I'm not a mind reader.
Yeah.
And I say, I wish you were sometimes, but
I wish you were, but we're not there.
We're not
so
there yet.
Talk to me. Like, what's going
on? Literally. The eras of us as humans having ESP across the board with one another has not arrived.
It hasn't happened yet. So, but we can still talk. Let's find out what's going on inside each of us.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30. We hope you enjoyed waking up. As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.